hello guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon, and I'm a facial plastic specialist. I love to teach you guys all about beauty. You can find me on my Instagram at Beauty by Dr. K, D-R-K-A-Y. And today on the podcast, I want to talk to you all about the neck, and I have my amazing office crew here with us. It is almost time for Thanksgiving, and that makes me think of turkey necks and gobblers. So we are going to talk all about the neck, and I want to introduce Victoria because I think that the neck, we start out from the outside, so skin, the skin of the neck. So Victoria, you and I both know that if your neck looks old, it makes everything look old. You can take great care of your face, but if you don't take care of your neck, it's going to give away your age, of course. So what are some things you do? So Victoria's our esthetician. Say hi, Victoria.
Hi, everyone.
And tell us a little bit about your background. What's your training?
I am a medical esthetician. I've been in the medical field for 15 years.
Yes.
I am also dual licensed esthetician and massage therapist. I just recently joined Dr. K's group, which I really love. And I love all her patients and all the followers that she has.
That's right. And how many years have we known each other? It's been a while.
Seven.
Oh my God. About we're seven. Getting old together. And she didn't say did you say you're a scrub tech too?
Yes.
Amazing, yes. Scrub tech. She does neck treatments from skin treatments down to neck massages and all therapy and all kinds of stuff. So we were just talking about how the neck can really give away your age, and no woman takes enough time on her neck because we have only so many hours in the day and we have to put time in the face first.
Precisely.
Precisely, yes.
A lot of my patients, when I'm treating them, I remind them how important it is to take care of the neck and your décolleté area. Sometimes they don't realize when we look in the mirror and start to get ready, it's all about the face. All about the face, we tend to forget about our neck. And it sometimes, to be honest, everyone, it does not match. You guys are beautiful, and I want to keep you looking beautiful. And I need everything to match from head to toe, anything that is exposed to the sun. Don't forget, it has more exposure, more sun damage, sunspots, lots of wrinkles that begin to show our age. So we want to go ahead and take care of all that skin, that beautiful skin, and preserve youthfulness. Some of the treatments that we can do while I'm doing your facials, take care of your décolleté, will be maybe possibly some light peels.
And for those of you who don't know where the décolleté is, look down at your chest, right above the boobs, in between the neck.
And actually, Dr. K, one of the things I tell my patients when we're doing an assessment and they're looking into the mirror, I tell them, okay, don't forget, remember, when you're driving and you put that visor down, you are only protecting possibly half of your face, which is your forehead, your eyes, and possibly up to the nose. When you're driving, which we spend a lot of time driving, we're driving towards the sun, that neck and that décolleté area, it is exposed. Every time you're in the sun, every time you're driving your children.
So
And then they realize, they're like, oh my God, Victoria, you're so right.
Tell you how many times I've had like a major sunburn. I've protected my face, mm-hmm. and then my chest and décolleté are red, red.
Yes.
With my V-neck, yes.
Yes, you get that V-neck. So please make sure that Dr. K has great skincare products. One of the ones our patients love, it's her Lift It Up. Immediately, almost you see that creepiness begin to relax. Neck and chest massage, also great. I was beginning to say, some of the treatments that we can do while I'm doing your facial would be some light peels, enzyme treatments, help lighten up those dark spots as well. And just please make sure you hydrate. Dr. K's neck cream, you can use it morning and night for that deep hydration.
Yeah, and do upstrokes. When you're putting creams on your neck, remember, stroke upwards and stroke away from the midline. That is the path of the lymphatic drainage, so mm-hmm. you always want to follow that path.
Yes.
Yeah. And then I think that's really critical, like once in a while when you do your facial, to treat your neck skin with a peel. Mm-hmm. So you do lighter peels. We do deeper peels.
We do. We do lactic, glycolic peels, combination of different ingredients, deeper peels, like you said. One of our favorites, it's our VI peel, perfect 10 peels. Depending on the patient's schedule, downtime, we'll take a lot of things in consideration, and I'll make a great plan with you, with the patient as well, and see what's the best treatment for that neck and décolleté area. Please don't forget.
Yeah, take care of your neck. So definitely starting with the skin and then muscles. Victoria does neck massage. So we store so much tension in our neck muscles. So in the front of the neck, you might see bands of muscles. Those are called platysmal bands. Like especially athletes have these thin stringy bands that show in your picture. Your face might look great. And then your neck in your picture has these two bands that come down. Those are called platysmal bands, and we definitely Botox them to make them lay flat. And in the back of the neck, neck muscle tension, Victoria does amazing neck massage. She's got strong, good hands, so come in and try that. And I do some awesome treatments with Botox for the trapezius. Did you know, Victoria, that I can make the neck look really long and swan-like by treating the trapezius muscles?
You can?
Tell me how. Yeah, because these muscles kind of sometimes have a little webbing, like especially people who work out a lot or have a lot of muscle tension. The trapezius is that kind of triangularly shaped muscle. It goes from the top of the back of your head all the way down to your shoulder. Mm-hmm. So if you have like a sail-shaped structure muscle, if I Botox it, it slims it, making the neck look very slender and long. Oh. So that's a super nice trick to have a long, elegant neck.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Love it.
It's awesome. And I also do neck muscle injections for people who have torticollis or cervical spasm. You might sometimes have that one muscle that's like a super tight, wooden, hard knot. Mm-hmm. And no matter how much therapy you get, you can't loosen the knot. So knocking out the muscle fibers with some Botox for a few months, like the muscle just can't be in spasm anymore. It just relaxes and it releases this reflex cycle of constant tension.
That's perfect.
Yeah. So
love all the treatments that we can provide to all our patients. Different alternatives are always great. And I know you mentioned athletes with the neck bands. In this industry, I've also seen, I've worked with a lot of nurses. I've noticed that a lot of laser nurses who are constantly looking down, and anytime we're treating a patient, as you know, and we're concentrated, we put a lot of tension. I know when I've done otherapy, my neck, it's very tense. And I noticed that a lot of laser nurses develop those neck bands that are unsightly.
Yeah, the horizontal bands too are a problem with tech neck, and like you said, bending over all the time. What's all therapy for people who don't know?
Well, therapy, some people ask, is it a laser treatment? I would say it follows under the laser umbrella, but not precisely, because it is ultrasound. It's an ultrasound technique for tightening and lifting of the face in different parts of the body. Also, they also do a décolleté area. It does precise coagulation points. What it's doing, it is a control injury. So think of the way I like to explain it is think of a loose rubber band. And if you apply a little heat to that rubber band, it's automatically going to shrink. That's what the precise coagulation points are doing in otherapy. Uh-huh. With that, your body wants to heal. Your body, it's an amazing machine. It's wonderful. It is always going to find a way to heal itself. With that, it's going to begin to create collagen in your body. Just like if you got cut, your body is going to heal itself. This control injury, your body kicks into a healing motion and you begin to produce your own collagen, which is great. It's a great alternative for patients who don't want and are not ready for any type of surgery.
It's awesome. So Altherapy, because there's not a lot you can do for the neck. So I love the idea of Altherapy as an intermediate treatment. It's a little pricey and you might not find the results as dramatic as surgery. But if you're mentally not ready for surgery and you've tried lots of peels and superficial treatments, this is the next level thing you can try. So radio frequency or an Altherapy type of ultrasound tightening as well. So there you have it. You guys have to come visit Victoria in the office. She's amazing, super strong hands.
Thank you.
And super good with your skin.
Yes, I would love to see everyone. Please come by. Also get on Dr. K's products. Excellent products here. You can stop by. Even if you don't want a treatment or don't have time for a treatment that day, just stop by, visit us. You can always catch my attention. I can educate you on all the products and the products that would be recommended for you and what we're trying to target.
Yeah, she's awesome. And I didn't even tell her to say that.
Thank you.
All right. So we talked with Victoria about things we can do for the neck on the surface, the skin, the muscles. Let's talk about fat. Because it is the turkey gobbler season. So I have Josh and Callie here.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Callie is our pre-med student. So, Callie, what did you learn at UCLA?
So I study nutritional sciences. So I learned all about nutrient function and metabolism. So I can answer a lot of questions about nutrition-related things and a little bit about fat metabolism.
I was so excited to hear that. And she's a great writer, and she's helping me with our blog posts. And together we're learning all about, we've done topics like intermittent fasting. So if you need to read about that, go read about intermittent fasting. We did, what else do we do? Antioxidants. And then we're going to do one on calorie balance, because I think not enough people understand what makes you have a chubby neck. So that's a super popular question, right, Josh?
Yes, definitely. I mean, we see a lot of people come in here for like Kybella. We have the neck cream, neck filler. It's all about the neck this month, I think.
November, we decided, is all about the neck. So, yes. And Josh is my marketing expert. Josh, tell us a little bit about yourself. For those of you who don't know you, you're going to hear all about Josh and Callie for a whole year.
I'm 23, born and raised in Los Angeles, Pasadena area. I went to art school for a little bit in New York. One thing I'll say is everyone that lives in New York is pretty skinny because they're always walking. That's one thing that doesn't happen here in California. Everyone kind of drives, and our transportation system's not the greatest. So
that's true, but we work out a lot.
We are very conscious of our bodies, I think. And everyone in LA wants to look their best. I think like ahead of the holidays, everyone's kind of booking their appointments and getting their pre-Thanksgiving Kybella, melt their turkey necks.
I'm kind of surprised at how much Kybella we're doing. So Kybella, if you haven't heard, is our fat melting shot, kind of a little miracle in a bottle. So it's like lipo in a shot. And it is an enzyme, deoxycholic acid, made in your gallbladder originally and then manufactured by Allergan and then injected by Dr. K and lots of other people across the country who are able to dissolve fat with a series of shots. So it's a great, great treatment. So Callie, what do you think it is that makes us get chubby under our necks, like double chin, turkey gobbler neck? Why does fat go right there?
I think it could be a combination of factors. The first one is probably the anatomy of the face. People have different jawlines, and so that could affect how fat is distributed in their neck. Another thing is just fat in general, and if we are carrying a little extra weight, under the neck is certainly one place where it can go. So later on, or another blog post where we post about calorie balancing, calories in versus calories out, and making sure that we're exercising, removing or getting rid of fat under our neck is really like getting rid of fat in other places in our bodies.
Yes, definitely. So one of the things I want to make clear to everybody is some people think if you eat certain foods, you're going to lose weight. So they eat a lot of those foods in order to lose weight. And I think that's a basic misconception. Like you'll read all these blog posts and people on Instagram talking about having celery juice and all the stuff that they think is going to help them lose weight, like eating, you know, nuts and almond butter, so healthy, so good for you. It's really boils down to calorie balance. So what you need to do is figure out what your ideal body weight should be. If you're 5 feet tall, you get 100 pounds for your ideal body weight. Each inch above that gives you 5 additional pounds. So 5'3", roughly you should be about 115 to 125 pounds. You know, a little on the lower side if you're from a slim, thin family, a little on the higher side if you're a little more like big boned. But think about your ideal body weight, and then you want to think about how many calories per day you need to sustain that body weight. And then if you want to lose weight, you're going to eat less calories. So you can eat, you know, almond butter and gain weight, even though it's a very healthy, almonds are so healthy and good for you, but they're high calorie density. So not enough people realize that just eating too much calories, period, is what makes you chubby. Right, Kelly?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's a common misconception about health foods, is that health foods are healthy and so you can eat as much of them as you want. But that's not the case. You want to eat healthy foods as you would eat any other food. But they're a great option and they tend to fill you up more. So you don't really need to eat as much food versus when you eat what we call maybe unhealthy foods or junk foods. You're going to want to go back for more and more. So then you will consume more calories. But if you eat healthy, nutrient dense foods, you're probably going to feel fuller and you'll tend to eat less overall.
Yeah, I think a good rule of thumb is look at your plate. And half of your plate needs to be leafy greens or green vegetables that are very basically free calories. So if you look at them, they have a ton of fiber, a ton of nutrients, very few calories, a lot of filling you up and feeling full. So every time you eat your entire salad first. If you're having lunch, if you're having dinner, fill up on salad and then allow yourself a quarter of the plate for carbs and a quarter of the plate for proteins. That's like a really good plate recipe. And just remember, when you're serving yourself a portion of chicken, it's not like a great big giant piece of chicken. It's the size of a deck of cards is one, you know, visualize how big is a deck of cards, and that's the chicken breast that you need to have. Because I've seen people go get chicken and they're eating a half a chicken and they think that's healthy. It's good protein, but it's too much protein. Too much protein turns to fat. Too much fat turns to fat. Too much sugar turns to fat. Too much veggies eventually slowly turns to more calories and then fat. So visualize that deck of cards for your protein. Turn your hand around and make a little cup, and there you have the cup size. That's the amount of carbs you need to have per meal. So it's not a giant mound of mashed potatoes, it's like that little teeny cup. So those are sort of some of my dieting tips. Do you guys have dieting tips, Josh?
I mean, I don't really diet.
Josh is super skinny.
I actually do have a question for you, though. I want your medical opinion. So I think you see me drinking all my, like, green juices and, like, all those little healthy drinks. Are they actually healthy?
So when you're getting green juice, it's healthy if it's primarily vegetables. So I am always reading what's in it. So if it's, like, apples and strawberries and a few leaves of spinach that turns the thing green, that's basically sugar water. Right. So, right. But if you're having green juice that's kale and spinach and celery and all greens that have very low calorie density, that's beautiful. Love that.
I don't know, Kelly, you see what I drink. What do you think? Is it okay?
I haven't looked at any of the labels, so I'll have to check out the labels. But I couldn't agree with Dr. K more about just watching the sugar content,
right.
Because drinking calories is a really easy way to get a lot of sugar and not a lot of bang for your buck.
Yes, like all those Starbucks drinks, terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible. It always shocks me in line at the hospital, like the number of nurses who are ordering those giant frappuccinos first thing in the morning. And I'm like, damn, that's great for you, but I can't afford to eat those many calories. Like, when you look at what you're eating, think of it like your budget, like your dollars for the day. Like, you can't expend all your dollars for the day on the first cup of caffeinated beverage that you have, which is a frappuccino with whipped cream and caramel sauce sprinkled all over it.
Oh, my gosh.
Those are like 700 calories. Yeah.
I mean, when I go to the hospital cafeteria, I see a lot of this stuff, and they're not really making the healthiest choices. So
I know.
It's kind of ironic. In a sense.
It's so hard to be good all the time. I try to do the 80-20 rule. So 80% of the time be, you know, really conscientious. And it kind of works out to do that Monday through Friday. And then Saturday, Sunday, you get your little 20% splurge. But Saturday, Sunday, only one meal is a splurge meal. You still have to be good for the other two meals. So those are like some little life tips and tricks about how to eat, how to fill up with fiber. And Josh, don't get those sweetened green juices. Get the really boring ones with turmeric and lemon.
I drink a lot of turmeric drinks.
Yeah,
turmeric is good. Yeah,
I drink from Press Juicery all the time. So
no, they keep coming out with studies about the benefits of turmeric and various I don't know body systems. So I think it's a really good thing to be consuming. I guess the other thing I was thinking about with the juices is while they're a really good source of vegetables, they don't tend to have the fiber content. And I think a lot of people aren't getting enough fiber in their diets. So while drinking your vegetables is an easy way to get the some of the vitamins and minerals, I do like to suggest also making sure you're getting your doses of of whole vegetables too, to make sure we're getting all that fiber in during the day too.
That is super true. And we interviewed Tanya Zuckerbrot on this podcast, and she's awesome. She came up with the F Factor diet. And F is for fiber. So if you haven't heard that podcast, go and listen, and you will learn a lot. And the way that fiber works is multiple ways. Number one, it's a prebiotic. So it is the sort of digestion material of those probiotic bacteria in your gut. Number two, it helps to bind to and excrete fatty acids. So you can eat a cholesterol-laden meal and a bunch of it gets excreted out with your fibrous waste. And number three, it keeps you so regular. Everybody needs that. Mm-hmm. So glamorous to talk about, but it helps. And then just makes you full. If you eat a whole cucumber, your tummy's going to feel full and happy, whereas if you have like a piece of toast, not so much. So I love the idea of that fiber-rich diet. And we got kind of sidetracked on nutrition because we were talking about what makes you chubby.
But we were talking about like the neck. Got all into
and the turkey. And then we started thinking of food with turkeys and Thanksgiving. So with your neck, the chubbiness that deposits there under the chin is either genetic and hereditary and can be super stubborn fat that's hard to get rid of. And you can be the slimmest person and have a little mound of double chin. And it can also be just calories, excess calories. If you have overall high basal metabolic rate or BMI, you are definitely a person who has, you know, some mild obesity. You're going to have a little fullness under your neck. But taking away that double chin with Kybella or neck lipo is one of the nicest and best ways to look younger and slimmer and kind of really improve your self-confidence. So you can try it with Kybella. We also do neck lipo. People worry a lot about neck lipo. Have either of you guys thought about neck lipo?
Why do people what do people worry about it? Because it's a surgery?
Yes, because they freak out about the idea of like, oh, I don't want surgery. But let me tell you, neck lipo is one of the easiest recoveries and fastest procedures. It's a 1-hour procedure. Oh, basically, you're one and done. You don't have to do multiple sessions like you do with Kybella. You may have a little small amount of bruising, but for the most part, by the very next day, you can already see results. And you do have to wait, wearing like a little chin strap at night. So maybe the first 6 weeks you have to wear that every night at bedtime. But during the day, you pretty much look back to normal after the first 4 days. So it's very well worth it to undergo one procedure through a tiny little stab incision under your chin where we're able to tunnel in and suck out all the fat and just kind of have that really nice contour back. Not everybody's a candidate, though.
I want to watch that.
Yeah, let's do it. So if you want to see if you're a good candidate for neck lipo, we want to make sure that your neck muscles have the right angle of attachment, because some people have a very steep angle between their chin and their neck. So you can push your tongue up to the roof of your mouth. Everybody try this. And then feel under your chin area, under your jaw, and just see if the muscles pop out when you do that at a very steep angle. You're probably not the best candidate for lipo.
Oh, darn.
Because I can't change how your muscles are physically attached to your jaw and the angle of inclination and the steepness of that. But if you push your tongue up to the roof of the mouth and it really is quite flat when you do that, you're chubby, a little chub on top of those flat muscles, we can suck that out with lipo. So that's a cool test to try. And if you don't know how to do that, come in and I'll check you for it.
I feel like I could use a little Kybella. I always tell people everyone can use a little bit of Kybella.
That's what I say too.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't hurt, right?
It's very beneficial. And I think this generation, the more we look down, the more we release the neck muscle.
True.
The proper tension of the neck is like in an upright position.
That was actually going to be one of my questions for you, Dr. K, about all of us looking down at our phones almost almost every hour of every day. Is that affecting like our double chins? Are people getting more of a double chin because we're just constantly looking down like that?
For sure, because your skin is definitely like a piece of paper. So the more you have that repetitive motion of like bending the neck and allowing the skin to fall forward and double up on itself, the more it's going to stretch and be doubling up, right? So number one, that. Number two, the horizontal necklines get worse. Number three, like the human head is reportedly at that angle is as heavy as a bowling ball. So the cervical spine can't really support the neck very well, support the head in that position of looking down at our phones. So, I mean, we are going to have a generation of people who have early neck problems too with their spine and their discs and everything. So as much as possible, try to hold your phone up, which is so unnatural.
Take a selfie, right?
Yeah. But that's what I tell people after we do neckline filler. If you have horizontal lines, I can put filler in those necklines. But you're not going to want to be bending over for at least a good week to 10 days. So it's hard to do, but you have to remind yourself. And I'm going to tell you to wear your airport neck pillow to Smart. Encourage you to, when you're home at least, like you'll be surprised how often your neck goes down and you're like, oh, I can't do that. Let me keep it up. So, yeah, I think this generation's getting more neck laxity than ever.
That makes me so nervous. Like, I feel like I'm never going to stop looking down at my phone. So. Yeah. What do I do? Am I going to need like a neck lift by the time I'm like 30?
Just saw a lady today who was 37 who had a facelift and neck lift, and I was slightly shocked because she had pretty good skin. So don't let people talk you into surgery too soon. However, I think in your 50s to 60s is the right time to think about neck lift. And then how do you know if you're a good candidate for neck lift? So if you have jowling, which is that loose skin around the mouth, if all the time you're looking in the mirror and pulling your neck back and to be like, oh, look so much better like this when I pull my skin backwards, then most probably you have enough loose, lax skin that you might consider neck lift surgery. So, and if you have a very, very loose, like turkey gobbler amount of loose skin under the chin, definitely surgery is the option for you. So fillers help. Did you know, Callie, we can use fillers to define the jawline, and that helps pull the loose neck skin backwards?
Oh, I didn't know that it helped pull that backwards. I thought it was just more for the jaw definition. That's interesting.
They definitely help for the chin, for the jaw definition, for the angle of the jaw. But when I pull the angle of the jaw skin backwards and the jowl backwards, it tenses up the neck skin as well. So that's an option if you're in your 30s to 40s and you're feeling a little jowly. Let's do some jawline filler. And some chin filler. So we were just talking, Josh, about the importance of the chin and how projection there can help you.
Right. I've seen a lot of, I guess, like videos and stuff and things that you've done where adding like a touch of filler to the chin kind of gets rid of that look of like you have the under fat. Like, so if you're not quite too chubby under there, maybe you just need some chin filler to even things out a little bit. Jawline filler kind of helps too, I think.
Yeah, I think the more you project your chin, the better. And Kelly, you had a good point about like you can be super thin, but if you don't have enough chin, you're going to seem like you have a short, stubby double chin under your neck, right?
Yeah, that was like my grandmother.
Grandma.
She had one of those chins. She was a slim lady, but she didn't have a very defined chin. So it kind of looked like she had a double chin walking around.
Yeah.
So it was just like it was more of an anatomy thing.
Definitely. If you lack your chin being projected enough, we definitely need to add, and we can do that with chin implant or chin filler. One syringe of filler roughly gives you about a centimeter or a half a centimeter chin projection. But the more you project the chin, the more it's going to stretch and elongate and give the appearance of definition and a nice border between the neck and the chin. So there you have it. We talked about a lot of things today. We talked with Victoria about the skin and the neck muscles, how you got to take care of your skin and your neck muscles. How you can use filler for horizontal bands, Botox for platysmal bands, and Callie, our resident nutrition expert, talked all about fat and calorie balance. So don't eat too much calories for women. It'll be 1,500 to 1,800 calories a day to maintain or lose weight. For men, around 1,500 to 2,000 calories. And reduce your fat with Kybella or neck lipo. And then lastly, think about, you know, if you're having a lot of skin laxity, we can do fillers for jawline and chin versus neck lift surgery. So Thanksgiving is here, and we officially crown this month New Neck November.
New Neck November.
Yay.
Yay.
So everyone go out there and think about your neck. Do something for your neck, whether it's something simple like a neck cream, try my really great neck cream, whether it's exercises to improve your neck muscle tone, or just stop looking down at your damn phone. It's time for a new neck in November. And there you have it. Thanks so much for tuning in, guys, to our beauty podcast. Hope you learned a lot. If you have listened this far and you go ahead and subscribe and give us a review of the podcast, screenshot that, email it to info@beautybydrk.com, and we will be happy to send you a deluxe sample of our neck cream. Yay. And Josh, you're going to hook that up, right?
Yes, we love sending samples out. Kelly is my little assistant. She helps me send out samples to all you guys. So So give us a review.
Give us a review and we'll send you a great cream to try. And go online, watch our YouTube videos at Beauty by Dr. K on YouTube. And our website is www.beautybydrkdrkay.com. You can find us here on Tuesdays for a longer podcast. And don't forget our 5-Minute Fridays. Yay. Thanks again and stay beautiful. New Neck November.